Good morning, church. If you can't tell by now, I'm kind of in a weird mood this morning. My head's kind of swirling a little bit, and I'm just thinking about those of you here who have lost loved ones, and I'm especially thinking about my brother Rob, who I've really come to appreciate, and just thinking about his family. His daughter-in-law lost her dad a couple weeks ago, and for this to happen, and how he cares for us in such a mighty and powerful way. I'm just thinking about him. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 with me. We're continuing our sermon series this morning. My fault. Sorry. Now I'm on. The sermon this morning is about how not to worry. And I want to share with you, before we start, in kind of the message part, it's a really interesting conversation, because when a lot of people read this scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, they believe that Jesus is talking about not worrying about our life's circumstances. However, if you look at kind of the context of what Jesus is saying here, remember last week we had this conversation around finances and around treasures in heaven. Don't store up treasures on earth, right? Where moth and rust will destroy, but store up treasures in heaven. And Jesus ends that part of the message from last week. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and love the other, or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, is what he says. And then the first word of this next part of the sermon he goes on to is, therefore I tell you, which means that Jesus is getting ready to wrap up this big point about money. And so guess what? Jesus is saying we have another sermon on money, but I'm not going to go there fully, because I know that sometimes that could wear us out. But I want you to know that this follows this logical path that Jesus is on. He says, therefore I tell you, okay, remember, you can't serve two masters, right? And you can't serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you. So this sermon today is wrapping up a section of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. And next week, we're going to begin the last section, which really talks about judging others. That's going to be a fun one. I guarantee you that. And so he goes, this is what he says. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. I mean, they don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single day to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need him. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You hear that last part? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anybody want to say amen to that? Now, I think it would be helpful to spend some time defining the kind of worry that Jesus is talking about here. It's the kind of worry that makes you ill, you know, physically and emotionally. It can paralyze you. It can cause an intense amount of fear and anxiety. Charles Swindoll has an excellent description of this kind of worry. He styles it as something like this. Anything that drains your tank of joy, something you cannot change, something you are not responsible for, something that you are unable to control, something that frightens and torments you, keeps you awake when you should be asleep. That's what worry is. You see, our word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to choke or to strangle. See, Jesus is warning about the kind of worry that chokes the life out of us. What Jesus doesn't warn us about in this passage is that worries that I might kind of say are termed concerns, right? It's okay to be concerned about your cholesterol, right? And take some needed steps to reduce your cholesterol, such as diet or exercising or not eating at Wendy's, a couple times this week. Yeah. It's okay to be concerned about your child who is misbehaving, right? Or taking prudent action and administering discipline. It's okay to be concerned about this. It's okay to buy insurance and to save for college. There's a big difference between being concerned and being worried. You see, worry focuses on the improbable events and doesn't do anything productive. Concern focuses on the probable events and acts. Do you see the difference? You know, there have been many times that I have felt worry. In fact, I can find myself worrying often. I worry about my family. I worry about my friends. I worry about all of you and making sure we are continuing on God's call and vision for our church. I worry about us as a family of faith and have a deep desire for all of us to know Jesus intimately and personally and fully. I pray for us as a church. In fact, I pray daily for us as a church. And I actually have a directory with me most of the time. And I pray each of those names throughout the course of a month. I worry about my future and what God is calling me to, and am I lined up with God's purpose for my life? I worry about Caden, that I'm being a good dad for her. I'm amazed and wonderful at how Jen is and how she selflessly gives of her time and her gifts to help those around the world who are in disasters, but I worry about her when she travels. But I know she needs to do it to fulfill a calling that she has. I worry about many things. However, what I've realized is that many times when I worry, it truly doesn't help me much or solve the problems that I'm worried about. However, even understanding that reality that Jesus calls me to, it doesn't stop me from worrying. So often in life, which is filled with turmoil and struggles and commitments and deadlines, we find ourselves feeling very much like a child who's been thrown into the air, only wondering if we are actually going to be caught on the way down. Far too often, I'm afraid, we find ourselves in the bondage of worry, captives to fear. According to a poll that I recently found, it says this, 40% of an average person's anxiety is focused on things that'll never happen. 30% on things in the past that can't be changed. 12% on things about criticism by others, mostly untrue. 10% about health, which actually gets worse when we stress about it. And only 8% of worry is about real problems that are being faced, which means that about 90% of the time we worry about things that will never come to pass, or that we in and of ourselves cannot control. 90% of our worries not be controlled. Instead, an interest paid on a debt not owed yet. Worry never changed one circumstance from bad to good, though it often makes things worse. It's a truly destructive power of worry, is that it clouds our judgment instead of aiding us and finding a solution to the problem or a concern. Worry has compounding the problem until it's all that we can see. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair, taking you back and forth, but never getting you anywhere. And so this morning, Jesus gives us some wisdom. And so let's look at some of the principle Jesus shares with us in the scripture. And the first thing I think in the first couple of verses of today's scripture that we need to realize is that we serve a faithful God. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, the first thing to realize is that we do serve a faithful God. So often we are defeated by worry because we are not aware of the power of God in our lives. So often, you and I, we mope through this life thinking that we have to do this all alone. And when we try and live on our own power, this life will always seem overwhelming. Sometimes the concerns of this life are really far more than we can bear alone. Yet we are not alone. Our faithful God has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. As we place our trust in God, we are find freedom from worry. When we abandon our limited perspective in favor of God's limitless perspective, we can be set free from worry. Corey Ten Boom wrote this, when I worry, I go to the mirror and say to myself, this tremendous thing that I'm worried about is beyond a solution. It's especially way too hard for Jesus Christ to handle. And after I said that, I laugh at myself and I'm ashamed. How often we look at our circumstances and we doubt God's ability or God's willingness to intervene on our behalf. And if we are honest, I think we'll all have to say that at some point occasionally, if not most of the time, we aren't really sure if God's going to come through. Or at least the way that we want it. There's an ancient Hebrew story of a rabbi who was forced into persecution to leave his homeland. And he had to wander about in distant countries, and all he had on his earthly possessions were his clothing and a copy of scripture and a lamp and a donkey that he rode upon. And late one evening, he, after a long day's journey, he came upon a small village and he sought some shelter there for the night. And the villagers, however, turned him away. And the only shelter that this rabbi had was sitting next to this wall, which surrounded a well on the outskirts of the village. And trying to make the best of a situation that was difficult for him, he lit his lamp and began to read from the scriptures. And soon a violent wind came and it blew out the lamp. And unable to read in the darkness, he reclined against the wall and tried to get some sleep. And his rest was soon disturbed, however, by a roar of a lion nearby. And he looked over the wall, honestly, just to see his donkey being dragged away. The rabbi was overwhelmed with distress and grief and worry. He tried praying to God, but his prayers were hindered by the many complaints and the embittered sentiments which kept going through his mind. And finally, in exhaustion, he just fell asleep. And the next morning, upon awaking, coming behind the shelter of the wall, he beheld a shocking sight. You see, on the streets of that town, the villagers lay dead because a vicious band of marauders had descended from the hills overnight. It was only then that the rabbi began to understand and put his losses in perspective. See, if the villagers had received him, he would too have been killed. If the lion had not killed and drug away his donkey, the presence of that donkey might have given him away. He learned a valuable lesson that night, that God's faithfulness doesn't always come in the way that we expected, but it comes nonetheless. You see, Jesus reminds us in this passage that the birds of the air and the flowers of the field do not worry about anything because God takes care of everything. What would it look like if we were not to worry and if we were just to trust God? I mean, that's an amazing thing to think about. And in my best days, when I think about what that would feel like, it feels tremendous to me to never worry because we have so much faith in God's provision. To never worry if we would have enough because God can take care of things. To never worry about what tomorrow would bring because God is already there. What would it feel like? To never worry about what happens in our lives because we know God is already moving. I think the reason that we don't need to worry is because of Jesus' second point. We are God's children. Many children go through this life as though God is someone to fear more than He is someone to love. And we sometimes worry that if we're not doing enough, being enough, then we can fear the unknown. If we're going to be set free from worry, we're going to have to learn to view ourselves the way God views us. That we are not an orphan and we are not a beggar. We are a child of the King. That's the way God views us. And if we are a child of the King, then God wants to do everything possible to give to us the needs that we have. If we are learning to live a life free of worry, we need to remember that God is a loving Father and that He wants the best for His children. I need to say something. My daughter wants an iPhone. Oh my goodness. This is a weekly conversation with her. She wants an iPhone. And she wants those little things that go in your ears. The AirPods, I think. She wants these things. And she's like, Dad, I need them. And I'm like, no, you don't need these. You have a phone. You have the cheapest phone I can possibly find, because at some point you're going to drop it in the sink and you're going to do something with it. And so, you know, $5 a month is a lot better than $40 a month. We confuse this need and want. God gives us what we need, not always what we want. Matthew 10 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs in your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than any of my sparrows, He says. The story that Jesus is telling us here is that we are more valuable than anything on this earth to God. And it's not the things that we want that are more valuable. It's the things that we need. And if we believe that God will provide everything that we need, then what are we worrying about? There's a story of a ship that was trapped in a severe storm at sea, and all of the people were preparing to abandon ship, and one young lady was playing with her dogs. And when she was asked, if she were afraid, she calmly replied, nope, because my Father's the captain. When the storms of life seem to trap us, we need to put our eyes upon God and say, I'm not afraid because I know who the captain of my life is. We need to learn to let go of fear and worry with God in command. And how amazing it is to know that we are loved by a wonderful Creator who desires the best for us. The very best for us, He desires. And finally, we are called, Jesus calls us to seek the kingdom of God. You see, seeking after the kingdom is a matter of perspective. See, most of us are so caught up in the busyness of our lives that we don't slow down long enough to even decide what it means to be kingdom people, followers of Jesus Christ. In Luke 9:23, He said this. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. I mean, this idea of following Jesus at all costs is what He calls us to do, to live for God in His righteousness. James Cash Penny, who started the JCPenney stores, he made some unwise commitments and he became very depressed. He was worried so much that he developed shingles. And he went to see a doctor who admitted him into the hospital, and his condition became worse. And one night he was prescribed a sedative that quickly wore off, and he awoke believing that he was going to die that night. And he wrote letters to his family and he fell asleep. And on the next morning he was surprised that he was still alive, and he heard people singing the words of God will take care of you on the chapel. And he went in and he listened to the singing and the message with a heavy heart. And then something happened. He said later, I realized that I alone was responsible for my troubles, and I knew that God's love was right there to help me. He said that from that day forward, his life was free from worry, and it was all because he realized that God would take care of him if he walked on the paths that God had called him to. Learning to trust God and let go of worry is a daily decision, and it's never easy to do that. Every day we must make a choice of how we are going to spend that day that God has given us. Are we going to be filled with anxiety as repeatedly we contemplate the enormity of our troubles, or are we going to seek first the kingdom of God? I mean, all of this comes down to one word: trust. Jesus is telling us to stop trusting ourselves and trust in God. When we rely on our own strength and our own abilities, the natural outcome of our life is to live a life that is filled with worry and anxiety and fear. But when we trust and we place our trust in the only one who can call us to sustainably live a life of hope and peace, we will have a life of abundance. And one of my favorite ways of kind of sharing this idea of trust and how we put our trust in God is a story that I heard. It could be true. I don't know. I've heard it in a couple places that it's true. But it's about a gentleman who hung a cable over Niagara Falls. And I don't know if it's true. It was a famous tightrope walker. And he hung it from the American side to the Canadian side. And to the applause of thousands of people, he would walk across this tightrope. On the very edge of the falls, the crushing, rushing, cascading waters that kind of fell underneath. And he would walk back and forth, and people would applaud wildly. And then to further the crowd, he would put on a blindfold, and he would walk back and forth. And then he would ride a bicycle back and forth. And then he would push a wheelbarrow back and forth. And every day people came to watch him, and he quite simply was the greatest. And the story goes like this. He said, one day, pushing a wheelbarrow back and forth, he called out to the crowd at one end, inquiring whether or not he could successfully push a wheelbarrow across with a human being in it. And the crowd went berserk. I mean, they're like, yeah, you can do it. I mean, you're the best. You're fantastic. I mean, we know how awesome you are. Of course, you know, you're the greatest. And on they went. And he responded, well, then volunteer. You can come right on up here, single file line. I mean, we're going to get you in the wheelbarrow if you trust in my ability. Well, and now you know the rest of the story. Of course, there were no takers. See, we tend to be okay when everything around us, with everything going on around us, until it involves us. We tend to be okay with God, what God is doing around us, until it starts meddling in our lives. And that's when we stress and we're anxious and we don't want to jump into the wheelbarrow and allow God to take us across the stormy falls. Notice here that Jesus doesn't say, when you follow me, everything's going to be wonderful. See, friends, we live in a fallen world, and the brokenness of our humanity infects the environment around us. There's still going to be destructive storms. There's still going to be diseases like cancer. You can still lose your job. People will disappoint you and disrespect you, even your children. But worrying about tomorrow only takes away from the energy you need to live today. Listen carefully to that. But worrying about tomorrow only takes away from the energy that you need to live today. Don't waste your time and your vitality fretting about tomorrow when you've got enough stuff to handle right now. And here's the reality. A lot of the stuff that you're stressing about and worrying about most likely will never happen. 90% of the things we worry about we can't do anything about. A philosopher once said, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which has never happened. Since you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, quit worrying about it. And just live for today. Be present today. The last thing that can combat excessive worry is a trust in the providence of God. And in the scripture that was read earlier in Matthew 6:32, it says, for pagans, and he's talking about unbelievers, for unbelievers run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what you need. He's going to provide for you. Trust in Him. Paul puts it this way, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of His glory in Jesus Christ. We live that promise. God will provide. I mean, look at what Jesus uses. He uses this idea of that birds in the air, they don't sow or reap, and the Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? So what are you worrying about today? Goodness, this is a sermon for me. What am I worrying about today? What am I worrying about next week? I trying to do it all myself? Or am I trying to fit God into my plans? Or is God the one leading my plans? There's a great song, I Know Who Holds the Future. Most of you probably know this song. And it sums up this message today. Listen to this. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And I don't borrow from its sunshine because the skies might turn gray. And I don't worry about the future because I know what Jesus said. And today I'm going to walk right beside him because he's the one who knows what's ahead. There are things about tomorrow that I don't understand. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who what? Holds my hand. It keeps going. It says, and each step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb, and every burden is getting lighter, and all the clouds are silver lined. And over the sun is always shining, and no tears will dim the eye. And the ending of the rainbow where the mountains, they touch the sky. And there are many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who what? Holds my hand. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's hold our plans loosely. Because God's the only one who holds tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry. We serve a God who spoke the universe into existence. He showed his love for us on the cross at Calvary. And he proved his power over sin and death when he rose from the grave. Because he did all this, don't you think he can handle our stuff? God, we pray that our lives will be surrendered to you. We pray, God, that in the midst of our worry and our fear, we can release that and let it go and allow you to take over everything that we are worried or fearful about or anxious about. God, it's tough to release control. It's tough to release those things that happen tomorrow. But you're very clear when you share through your son, Jesus, that tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Now let's live for today and what you have given to us today and what you have provided for us today. And may we be filled with joy. For we pray this in your son's name. Amen.